At some point, I was doing some kind of internal consulting at Spark, trying to solve problems, and from then on, moved into data. And what I also see is leadership believes in changing things around quite a bit. And they have got the vision. The people I talk to, my direct leadership has that vision. And I like working with them because I feel that there's always something that's there to challenge me at Spark.
You're listening to The Data Point of View. A podcast for anyone interested in using machine learning and consumer data to achieve business objectives. In each episode, members of the Mobile Wallet team are joined by industry leaders and influencers to discuss different ways data and technology can improve predictive modeling, feature engineering, and data enrichment. Let's jump in.
Thank you for listening today. I'm Laurie Hood, CMO at Mobile Wallet, and this is Data Point of View. Data Point of View is a podcast for anyone interested in using machine learning and consumer data to achieve their business objectives. Joining me for this episode is Anshuman Banerjee. Anshuman is Domain Chapter Lead, very interesting title, and for commercial data at Spark New Zealand. Spark is New Zealand's largest telecommunications and digital services company, with a strong commitment to using technology to be truly useful to their customers. Anshuman, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for joining me today. I'd like to start talking a bit about your background and what led you to your current role, and then focus on how you and your team are driving change at Spark. Then we'll close with your thoughts on what you're thinking of for 2020, which it's frightening to think that we're talking about 2020 and it'll be here in a minute. So let's go ahead and jump right in. So your undergraduate degree is focused on technology. Is that something that you've always been interested in?
Hi, Laurie. Firstly, thanks a lot for inviting me for this session. It's all my pleasure to be here talking to you today.
No, thank you for your time.
No problem at all. Really excited for this session. My background and undergraduate degree, so the way I came about it, it's not actually too much of a choice back in India when I started off, where technology is something that you go into if you are moderately good with your studies. And that's how I went into technology, into an engineering degree. I ended up, though, in software, like a lot of people in my generation have gone through engineering, have gone into software. From then on, I worked in software for quite a bit. Technology, really loved it, loved coding, loved going into clients and talking to them and solving technology problems for them. After a bit of time, I felt that I really wanted to specialize on the business side. And so I did an MBA. And from then on, it has been a journey which has been a combination of business and technology. So yeah, I'm passionate about technology, and I like to use it to solve real business problems.
So we'll talk a little bit about the decision, because there was a little bit of a gap between getting your undergraduate degree and then going back and getting your MBA. And as you just said, you wanted to kind of broaden and look more at business knowledge. So talk about having the technology background, and then this business focus has really helped you with kind of your career decisions and what you do today.
Yeah, sure. A lot of things I think that we do is when we look back at things and connect the dots, then we see some value in them. And that's pretty much how it has happened for me as well, in the sense that when I look at solving business problems and I'm really interested in using technology, data, etc., to use to solve those problems. And if you work for a bit of time in the technology space, it brings in you a certain amount of ability to understand what's possible and what's not at an overall level. I wouldn't probably term it as like a know-all, because the world is changing too fast with a lot of venture and new companies coming in. So it's difficult to predict what's going to happen. But a general sense of it as to how to solve a problem using information, using technology, is what gets ingrained into you after a point in time, I feel. And that really helps to understand how you approach a problem and what are the different avenues that are possible to solve a business problem. So looking back at it, I think these are the two things that I love, or three things that I love, which is business, which is data, and technology. And somehow I feel that they have come together in some way, shape, or form.
No, that's great. Well, also, I wanted to talk a little bit about You have deep experience in the telecommunications industry. So what is it that you find so interesting about telecom?
Again, when I went into telecommunications very early on in my career, it was as an IT consultant, but I wanted to specialize in the telecommunications space because the inherent nature of connectivity kind of excited me. And from then on, it has been a choice to stick to the sector. And I've seen quite a few ups and downs that have happened. At some point of time, telecommunications got highly commoditized. But then today, I see that a lot of innovation is happening in the telecommunications space. So yeah, it's been quite a nice journey. And I don't intend to, if I can stick to the sector, I intend to be in this area with all of the new things happening in 5G, IoT, and enormous amount of information that exists in the telecommunication space is something that really excites me. And I think we have kind of only exploited the top layer of it. There's a huge amount of information and data that can be exploited for good in the telecommunication space.
And even though you've said there's more that you can do, telecommunications feels like an industry area that has really embraced technology, embraced the use of data. You're seeing a lot of sophisticated applications coming out of telco. And I really like your previous statements about kind of that combination of understanding the technology, but having the business perspective. And as we sort of lead into talking about your current role in Spark, I would expect in a data science role that to really be important because everything you're doing is really to serve reaching the business goals. It's not technology for technology's sake. So when, you know, you've been at Spark now for over 7 years, talk a little bit about the company and what some of their focus areas are in terms of growing their business.
Just give you a background about how it leads into my time at Spark is that I have typically been on the consulting side prior to this mostly, and I've typically worked at a specific client for shorter durations, 6 months, max 1 year, etc. Now, Spark is a place where I've stayed back for about now 7+8 years. And one of the reasons which just kept me at Spark is I've understood that my thinking is that I want to work with people who are smart and smarter than me and people who love to experiment and try out new things. And I've had the opportunity to kind of do both of that at Spark. My role at Spark has changed significantly over time. And with working on different things, at some point I was doing some kind of internal consulting at Spark, trying to solve problems. And from then on, moved into data. And what I also see is leadership believes in changing things around quite a bit. And they have got the vision. The people I talk to, my direct leadership, has that vision. And I like working with them because I feel that there's always something that's there to challenge me at Spark. Now, this role on commercial data and a domain chapter lead position, the way it came about was that typically what we saw at Spark is we had these groups of people who understood data quite well, and we had a group of people who understood business really well. But the interconnect between business and data was missing. It was more business directing data to create dashboards, and that's what data teams used to do. And I thought that that potential of what's possible via data was not clear either to the data group or to the business area. And this kind of was a gap that was identified not just by me, but by a few other people, by my management as well. That's how this area got formed called commercial data, which was about how do you use data to drive commercial benefits for Spark. And we work on internal Spark projects and drive commercial outcomes. Each of the projects that we work on has either in-year benefits linked to it or longer-term incubation projects which have benefits which should come in the next few years, the two different kinds of projects that we work on. And it keeps me on my toes from a quick, immediate in-year delivery as well as an explore perspective to it as to what's possible in the future and putting my time and effort into some of those things, long-term incubation projects.
No, that's awesome. So I want to touch on a couple of things that you mentioned. I love how you talked about the importance of your team and the leadership. And I think we're also influenced in it by our day-to-day at work and that ability to enjoy who we work with, who we work for, and the projects that we're working on. So I really appreciated that. When you were talking about your team, and again, thinking back to your earlier comments about this melding of technology and business, I don't know how unique it is, but I think it's genius to bring kind of both sides together, because nowadays it's hard to know everything, and your data teams and your data scientists go so deep in one area and the business people go so deep somewhere else. So it seems like it's just this, I'll joke, peanut butter and chocolate, Reese's peanut butter cup combination of how do you bring the two teams together and get more out of it. I wanted to touch on your title of domain chapter lead. And is that common terminology at Spark? How did that title come about? I think I understand domain. I'm not sure about the chapter part. So I'd love some insight into that.
Okay, sure thing. I think I do have difficulty explaining it sometimes, especially when I put it on my LinkedIn profile and people think, okay, what is this domain chapter lead? What does this even mean? So at Spark, we went agile about 3 years back, and almost 80 to 90% of the company works in an agile mode. And we've followed the Spotify model to go agile.
Right.
Now, in Spark, the teams are classified as tribes at a very top level, tribes and chapter areas. Tribes are more areas where there is a delivery associated with that, the delivery objectives, while chapter areas are more of skill set and people management areas. Now, the data and automation is a chapter area as well as a tribe, because as a tribe, we have deliverables from an infrastructure perspective as well as incubation of projects, while incubation of new initiatives on data. While a data automation is also a chapter area. And within that chapter area, we've got four domains. One of the domains is data engineering. There's another on data analytics. There's one on automation. And the fourth one is on commercial data. So I lead the commercial data one. And within commercial data, there are two chapters, two types of chapters within it. One is data science, which we all know what data science is. And data intelligence is another chapter area, which is about the business and data interface. These are people with special business backgrounds and an ability and a love for using data to solve problems. So chapter is more of the skills, etc. part of it, while tribes is the delivery part. And I lead that domain on commercial data. I don't know if that made it any clearer or confused everything.
No, it makes sense, and it's an interesting perspective. So when you look at your team and you think about goals, are those goals shared across both sides of the team, then potentially with some other kind of independent goals on each side? How do you drive kind of that working together?
Could you repeat that question, please? Sorry.
So when you look at kind of the specific goals and objectives for your team, are they shared across the team, or are they separate depending on which chapter your person's in?
I think a lot depends on the area of work where they're involved in. Now, the area of work that they're involved in is, again, there's another terminology to it that we use called squads, where these are small teams, which are small entrepreneurial teams of 8 to 9 people, where a delivery happens within a tribe. And people from the chapters are part of these squads. Now, a squad can comprise of people from data intelligence, data science. It can have people from marketing, supply chain, depending on the kind of initiative and the outcomes that they're driving towards or working towards. So their objectives are set at a squad level in terms of what they want to achieve. So they're working towards a goal. In terms of chapter standards and ways of working, etc., the chapter plays a role. in terms of hiring the right people. That's where the chapter plays a role.
So the squad brings kind of another dimension into maybe kind of these cross-organizational team to accomplish a goal.
Correct. Exactly.
So it sounds like it's kind of a matrixed organization, or at least working on these projects. What do you think is the key? Because so many companies are now highly matrixed. What in your mind is kind of the key to success with these cross-functional teams and how they get things accomplished?
I think that's a very interesting question. And the answer can be on so many different dimensions on that. One of the key things, I believe, is the people component of it. And who are the people who are part of a squad? Who are the people that we are hiring? And I personally am of the view that we need to increase talent density, because a lot of the time I've seen that if I hire great people, it lets me do a lot more meaningful work than I otherwise would be doing. So there's a component to the kind of people that we hire for these positions. And for a squad kind of a structure to also work, I feel that people need to have a certain degree of drive and ability to be self-driven, rather, to achieve and try out an experimentation approach to things, which is what we follow in these areas. And it depends on the tribe that they belong to and the tribe lead and how they drive it. It also depends at the top level, at leadership level, in terms of the degree of faith that they have in this kind of structures to make them work. Because a lot of the thinking and decisioning about how to achieve something rests with the squad, rather than being told from the top as to how you need to achieve something.
Well, and there's a personality type, I think, who's more comfortable working with that kind of model. And it does sound like it's so much more empowering, but you're right. Hiring the right people is so much of the success of different teams. So shifting gears a tiny bit, you're in a highly competitive industry. So without revealing any trade secrets, because I'm sure there's a lot of secret sauce that you guys are working on, what are some of the projects that you've been a part of that have really interested you? And it's sort of, what is your thinking as you lead your team to tackle these?
I think a lot of it is about understanding customers. And I think that is something that we try to keep at the center of all of the work that we do. How does it enable or help the customer to succeed? At Spark, our vision talks about to make all New Zealanders win big in the digital world. And keeping customer at the center of it, understanding when a customer needs something and what do they need, and being able to anticipate that using information and data is something that we feel can make us a lot more relevant in terms of the conversations we are having with our customers, as opposed to a world where it's driven by the company, where we have our objectives to reach and we bombard customers with numerous offers, etc., and without knowing what really works for them. So on that journey, we have moved quite significantly in terms of trying to understand customers better and then providing them with things that we think that they might need. Well, a lot of our projects are oriented towards that. But at the same time, we also have a number of projects which are about how do we make our internal processes and practices a lot more simplified and experiment-oriented, so that the degree of bureaucracy, et cetera, goes down and there are a lot of just-in-time decision-making that can be enabled in the company.
Did you find, I think a lot of people see the telecommunications industry as being kind of a pandemic winner, if you could talk about anyone winning during the pandemic. How did that potentially shape or influence some of the things you were doing? When you talk about breaking through the bureaucracy, it created much more usage and pressure on the telecommunications companies. What was a little bit of that internal impact for you?
So internal impact we've had. So everything about the pandemic has not been great for the telecommunications industry. For example, we've lost out on enormous revenues from a roaming perspective. And if you know about New Zealanders, they love to travel. They love to go around the globe. And we are a country where a lot of people come in as well. So on the roaming, et cetera, front, there has been a substantial decline almost to a point of zero for us. But at the same time, the degree of connectivity that has been required for people to work from home and to work from remote settings has seen huge jumps in terms of the amount of data usage that has happened. Now, does it come with increased amount of revenue? In some cases, but it also is a challenge if the capacity utilization of our resources grows substantially all of a sudden. So we've been up to that challenge and we've been trying to manage and maintain, make sure that we are up to it and people have absolute levels of, they have connectivity during these trying times. In terms of our ways of working, we've been as a team, thankfully being in a company which works on telecommunications and mostly on the IT, et cetera, space, the degree of impact for our employees is more about being used to working from home. So the level of impact is probably lesser compared to a lot of other sectors where people yeah. work in. But yeah, I mean, things that I see, which I see as have impacted in the ways of working also is that I love whiteboarding. I love being able to be in a room with the team and share ideas and thoughts and come up with new ideas. And it's been difficult to do that. And I'm really waiting for things to open up as our vaccination rates are rising. And we are hoping that we'll be able to go back to office in hopefully January.
Oh, that's great. Now, we talk about that a lot internally. I mean, at Mobile Walla, we have data science teams and technologists and just the innovation that comes out of that interaction and just being in the same room. It is hard to replicate when you're not. So talk a little bit about, as your team has grown, because I know you guys have really invested in data science. What have some of the challenges been as your number of data scientists increase, your number of models increase, and sort of how have you had to change your thinking as you've seen growth?
That's a really interesting question. Because when we started out, we had maybe one squad, which was creating these AI machine learning models, then went across to two or three squads. And we did not really know how to scale at that point. And the result of which, or the implication of which was that there were data features which are required for models which were being independently created by each of these squads. And in data science, 80-85% of the work is in feature creation. As we have grown, though, we've understood that there needs to be a certain degree of streamlining of that piece, and we need to get faster in the way we can create models. So we've created a universal layer called of features, which we are calling as a feature store. And it's a layer where features are tagged and marked out as reliable across the company, which means that any new models which are coming up can immediately tap into this feature store and create models using those features. Already, our model creation timelines have gone from over 2 months to almost a few days in which we can turn around models. And that's been an enormous benefit and has helped us scale. The other thing that we've done is as these AI models get embedded across the organization, we want to make sure that the models are credible and are delivering the results that we wanted. They haven't gone rogue. So we have now a squad, which we call as AI governance squad, which looks into and ensures that we are tracking model health and data health for these models on an always-on basis. And that's important for us to ensure that, in addition to that, we are also looking into if our models have certain degrees of bias and if they're fair, etc. All of those things are being put in place at this point to make sure that the degree of credibility that we have of our models amongst us as well as amongst senior management remains high.
Yeah, I mean, you see so much. I was looking, it was financial services, but there was an interesting article today about a bias in AI and a degree of transparency and some of that kind of decision making Also, we talk a lot internally about building reliable models, but you fundamentally have to understand the reliability of that data that you're incorporating in your features. And then I think it's great that concept of sharing features, because when you've got a lot of different teams, there may not be that communication. And it's such a big part of the process, an expensive part of the process, and an error-prone part of the process. So why not reuse something that's working? So that's awesome. So we're coming up on time. So I wanted to just close with, as you look at 2022, what are the three things that are kind of on your mind as you think about what's going on with your team and what company goals are coming out of the pandemic? What does that look like for you?
I don't know if I can talk about three things, Laurie, but things that I think about is I always try to think about what are the new things that are going to come up in this AI machine learning space, and how can we make sure that we are on top of those things and trying to bring some of those things into Spark. So we're planning for, FY23 at this point to see what are the new projects in terms of what we should incubate and start working on and creating a list of those initiatives, which is really an exciting part for me, which is future looking, et cetera. I see that the importance of data and information is going to become ever more important. So how do we scale a team, and how do we at the same time? So we've got a team of highly talented people, and it's a challenge to bring in more people and maintain the same ethos and maintain the same degree of drive, et cetera, in the team.
Yeah.
It's also another thing that I think about is when I bring in people who are highly capable, they want to be challenged and they want to work on things which are interesting. So having a pipeline of initiatives and projects so that they can be utilized, they don't get bored, is another thing that I think about. Yeah, so these are some of the things.
That's great. And I like and appreciate your statements on what's next and how do you stay current. It feels like the sort of AI and machine learning space right now is there's a lot of investment, technology, automation, and a lot of things going on in it that probably do make that a need to really stay current. And then with all of the discussions around data, existing data, first party, third party, how do you enrich it? How do you use it? I mean, data is the fuel for a lot of machine learning and AI. So I know you guys have tons of it, but is it the right data and is it usable? So there's a lot of exciting stuff. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, for sharing your insights. I mean, you've got this great experience and you're doing a lot of exciting things and you're really leading your team into kind of new territory, I'm sure, at Spark. To our listeners, thank you for your time today. And please join us for another episode of Data Point of View, brought to you by Mobile Wallet. So thanks, Anshuman. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Lori. My pleasure. Cheers.
Thank you for checking out this episode of Data Point of View. This show is brought to you by Mobile Wallet. Mobile Wallet provides consumer intelligence solutions that help data and marketing professionals better understand, model, and predict consumer behavior so they can acquire and retain their best customers. If you enjoyed what you learned in this episode, make sure to follow Data Point of View wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, or visit mobilewallet.com/podcast to get immediate access to all of the latest episodes. The Data Point of View.